All right, guys. We welcome to Below the Belt Show, actor extraordinaire. You can see him in the upcoming season 3 of The Man in the High Castle. It's actor Giles Panton on the line. What's up, Giles?
How you doing, man?
Hey.
Hi, not much. Hi, everybody.
Hey, good to have you on Below the Belt Show, man.
Yeah.
You're talking with Al Soto, and my co-host this week is Mr. Big Nick.
What's up, brother?
We also have guests.
Hey, not much, man.
Guest host and amazing actress and model Sarah Bentman in studio as well, talking to you.
Hello.
Oh, hi.
Hello.
Check out Sarah. She's on the cover of Fairy Magazine, available at every Barnes & Noble, Giles, if you want to check her out.
Oh. Okay, wow. Impressive.
Yep.
Thank you.
So first of all, Giles, congratulations on first booking an amazing role on this incredible series, Man in the High Castle. I mean, first of all, I got to talk about how cool the premise is, man. I mean, it's a dystopian series, and if the Nazis won World War II, what would life in the U.S. be like today, right?
Yeah, life would be very, very different.
Yeah, and I think would you say it's a pretty realistic, like, alternate timeline,
it's based.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah,
absolutely,
yeah.
Man. They when I got signed on, they sent me something like a 50 or 60 page alternate history book, which started roughly in the 30s and showed a parallel between our real world and where things would have had to have gone slightly off for it to have ended up in the show. Like, they put so much time into it.
It's scary that if that happened and how Nazi Germany would still be alive today and pretty much decimating all of anyone that has Jewish lineage in their blood.
Well, I mean, anyone. That was just part of their list. They were doing some awful things. Awful, awful things. They would have basically cleansed the whole world.
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah. I get that same feeling watching a few of the episodes as I did The Handmaid's Tale.
Well,
they're both dystopian and both alternate future, timelines. But it just had that I don't know. It really grasps you emotionally somehow.
Exactly. Yeah.
It stays with you too. It's like this kind of lingering when you're done the episode. You're like,
So please, if you could elaborate a little bit on your character, Billy Turner.
Billy Turner, man, he's different. He's different than anyone on the show yet. He's like a wheeling, dealing. He's kind of like as close to a 1960s ad man as you could get in this universe. He's like the Don Draper of the American right. He's wild.
That's pretty cool.
The Don Draper Mad Men reference. I love it.
Yeah.
Nice. So, season 3 drops Friday. Oh, fantastic. Wow.
Very
so this
cool.
is a nice wow. little nice cool. little promo,
yeah,
Rice.
Dude.
How many episodes are we talking here for you, Giles?
For Billy?
Yeah.
Oh, you'll see me in about 8 of them, 8 of the 10.
Awesome.
All right,
so,
dude.
That's a pretty good run, man.
Yeah, that's a good run.
Yeah, dude, that's a heck of a guest star right there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's he was a great surprise on all levels, that's for sure.
Wow, that's fantastic. Tell us about, I guess, just working with that amazing cast.
Yeah, I mean, well, just the entire team. I mean, we're talking an Emmy award-winning team. It just from the get-go, well, like I said, from the very first thing I got, that giant history book, I knew what I was in for. I mean, first day on set, I was walking around my office, and I picked up a prop. I think it was a phone, and I flipped it over, and the thing on the bottom said where exactly in the American Reich it was built. Like, the detail is insane. So
that's awesome.
Not just on the level of, like, props and everything else, but all the entire cast, they just raised the bar. So I walked in there, and I was like, okay, here we go.
That's pretty cool.
Nice.
I also, I have something I got to admit, dude. I actually bumped into you technically 3 days ago.
What?
Are you serious?
I'm serious, but it's not how you think. So I was sick last week. I was bedridden last week, and I was playing video games, and I happened to have been playing Far Cry 5.
Yeah.
And I happened to have bumped into Guy Marvel.
You met Guy Marvel. Did you run into him in the main game, or did you play his insane zombie DLC?
I did both, and it was fantastic.
There we go.
That was
well,
awesome.
Well, that guy, I basically would drink like four coffees and then just walk into studio for him, and we would just go and just not stop until I was bleeding.
So
the character he played is like this. You were kind of reminding me of like Bobcat Goldthwait, just with his like hyperactiveness. He's like a movie director.
Oh yeah. Oh, wow. So the four coffees probably equate to one line of Coke, right?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
In street terms, yeah.
So I was totally shocked. He was just like, oh, yeah, so we're checking out this guy. And I looked him up on IMDb, and I was like, holy shit, that's Guy Marvel. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Crazy coincidence. So I love Guy Marvel, that was awesome.
Do you enjoy doing these voiceovers?
Oh, sorry, what's that?
Do you enjoy doing the voiceovers?
Yes, I love it. This is all the stuff I got in trouble for when I was like in school as a child, just making all sorts of ruckus, and I'm getting paid for it. Of course I love it. Making insane voices, monsters. I'm on a cartoon right now where I'm three monsters that just scream and attack people every episode. It's just
weirdest,
wildest thing. Or like, I literally in the mail today got the Halloween mask of my Lego character from my Lego cartoon because I wanted it, and it's just, I don't know. I have a closet full of toys. It's the craziest thing.
That's got to be cool.
Yeah. That's awesome.
But just looking at your IMDb, you've done a few video games and an animated series, Dead Rising 4, and of course Bless Online is another video game you did, and of course you're Salvador Rat in Beat Bugs. So.
Even with kids, they'll know that one.
Yeah, so a lot of cool, fun stuff with kids. It seems. You know.
So how are you? Which one are you kind of preferring now that you've done a whole bunch of one and a whole bunch of another? Like, do you prefer, like, what do you get out of voice acting that you wouldn't get out of, like, your regular acting like you would be doing on High Castle?
Well, they're so different. I mean, obviously with film and TV, I love them both. I love them both in insane ways. But, like, I would not play Guy Marvel in a movie. Like, unless they did some insane prosthetics and a whole bunch of different things, it wouldn't happen. Mm-hmm. But I get to play this insane, arrogant, like, just like the director who's at the end of his middle to end of his career, who's freaking out. I think what I love about voice work is the versatility. If I can sound like it, I can play it. I can be a big giant monster. I can be an old hack director. With film and TV, I'm not going to say I'm limited to like. Certain things, but I'm not exactly a character actor yet, so
sure.
I don't pull like Paul Giamatti where he can kind of just morph himself into all these different things.
Sure.
I wouldn't say I'm limited to, but I certainly play a lot of charming guys or total douchebags. That's cool.
Now,
we got this Adam Levine thing going on. I'm looking at your bio here.
Yeah, yeah.
Provided by your great PR team at the NPR firm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're great.
Now, out of curiosity, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go for it, go for it.
I was going to say, with Guy Marvel, last Guy Marvel question, because I'm just so excited. how much of that ranting was just ad-lib, or was that all, like, literally in a script that you had to read?
The writers were amazing. I would say 94% of that, this is pretty specific, but about 94% was probably scripted. And then there was a good chunk where we were just in the zone, and I would just say what they said and just rattle on some more.
That's awesome.
So I don't remember which line specifically, but I know there was a couple where basically the studio was howling and everyone in the phones were like, oh, we got to keep that.
That's amazing.
Nice.
Well, for all those out there listening, if you haven't played Far Cry 5, go play it. Find Guy Marvel. You will not be disappointed.
I love it. Awesome. You've done some really cool television work over the years, Giles. What has been the highlight? I mean, has it been The Man in the High Castle or has it been some of your prior work?
Well, you know, I'd say High Castle kind of tops it off. I've done a lot of really, really cool roles. But there's High Castle's a special show, man. They put so much into it. That's the topper. I'm really honored to be on that.
Nice. How was the audition process? Was it grueling or was it fairly stress-free?
It was wild. I literally had there was one taped audition with a casting director, and they saw the tape, and they're like, that's our guy.
What? So
that's awesome.
That's great.
You're knowing him so much. it was wild.
Dude, that is so cool. Where does Man in High Castle shoot?
Vancouver.
Okay, great. So that was just Just waking up, just an easy commute for you then, I guess.
Basically, right around the corner, yeah.
Yeah, right around the corner. Yeah, I know. That's pretty cool, man. So we've had many great actors from Vancouver here on Below the Belt Show, of course, courtesy of your awesome PR firm, the NPR. A lot of people call it the Hollywood North. Do you feel Vancouver has an advantage, really, because in Los Angeles it's so saturated. It's a big saturated market of actors versus Vancouver. You have maybe a slightly easier chance to shine. Do you concur with that?
I do. I would. I would say the opportunity to percentage of people here is enormous. It definitely dwarfs L.A. Plus, everyone keeps putting down roots here. Like, Netflix just built a massive studio. Well, in the last year or so, Amazon is building a huge one. They're doing the Lord of the Rings series here. That's a billion-dollar franchise.
Wow. I didn't know that. That's cool.
Everyone keeps dropping down roots. And the city, I mean, like, there's so much here. You can get to pretty much 7 out of the 9 shooting climates in the world.
That's true.
I think the only thing we don't have is, like, tropical rainforest and Saharan desert. Like, you can get everything else, so it's
got lots of rain, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. But I worked for the horror movies and all the just a dark X-Files feel in the fall.
Dude, you mentioned the sound stages, and you also mentioned Lord of the Rings, which our eyes kind of popped up because we weren't aware of anything Lord of the Rings related. Oh, the prequel!
They're doing the story of Aragorn, is my understanding.
Oh, snap. I got to do some research.
To get the badass that he is.
Hell yeah.
Oh, wow.
I got to do some research, man.
Yeah. Hey, we learned something here on Below the Belt Show. That's pretty fantastic, man. That is awesome, man.
You have my attention.
Yeah. So who's your favorite cast member to work with on set of High Castle?
Well, I spent a lot of time working with Bella.
Yeah.
She's awesome. She's a riot, man. She's just she's a no bullshit, just hilarious. Am I allowed to say that?
Yeah,
you can. You're good, dude.
You can say whatever the hell you want on this show. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, she's no bullshit, just hilarious. I had a blast with her. But everyone had their own unique charm, honestly. Rufus is hilarious as well. I'd say I don't want to leave anyone in the cold, but I spent a lot of time with those two, and they were great.
Also, you don't want to spoil nothing either.
Yeah, that's true. Were you a fan of the show prior to being cast?
I was a huge fan of the concept. I had been wanting to for years to read the book, and I just never gotten around to it. So when I heard the show was being made, it definitely got my attention. Yeah. And then the moment I binge watched it in a couple days easily because it was just so freaking captivating. And I read the book as well, and I'm a huge fan of it.
Based on what I saw, I'm curious why Man in High Castle got overlooked at the Emmys in so many categories. What are your thoughts?
I don't know. They put so much into it.
The production value is amazing. The actors, the acting is incredible.
It's top notch, yeah.
You know what, man? I couldn't comment because I'm not sitting in those Emmy rooms figuring out. I know it's not a room, but the decision-making process.
Yeah.
As to who gets what,
This one ranks up there. The Man in High Castle ranks up there with some of the more overlooked shows.
Well, because they put them in the same category as, like, Game of Thrones. And they're just sweeping because Game of Thrones. Maybe.
I don't know. Because Game of Thrones is still considered a drama with all the other non-fantasy type of shows. But
they've won at least one Emmy, right?
Yeah, they've won an Emmy.
I would agree. I would agree. What they have built. Maybe because it's on Amazon Prime. I don't know.
I know. I thought about that too, but then you have Marvelous Miss Maisel, which is killing it.
They've won 2 Emmys.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, one for outstanding cinematography and one for outstanding main title design.
There you go. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Maybe subject matter. Who knows? I can't even begin to comment. I'm just pulling things out of my ass.
That's completely fair. That's completely fair, man. No, but now again, an excellent show. Nick has already binge watched season 1.
I've watched season 1 when it first came out.
Yeah.
As much as I'm a completionist with my video games, and I'll bump into Guy Marvel, I'm not a completionist with TV shows that I need to be so I can catch up. But I'll definitely be probably watching them on Friday, jumping right back into it.
Oh, I'm gonna be jumping in. I'm excited. I've already seen the first episode, and I Love it.
Oh, nice. Awesome. You're giving a sneak peek.
Sorry, what?
You're giving a sneak peek.
I already had it. Yeah, but now I'm going to be, I'm just looking forward to seeing how the whole thing lays out.
Yeah.
It's different when you read it on page and then you see what they actually build on screen.
Nice.
Rewarding.
Cool. I see a couple other things you have in the works. You have a couple Christmas films, Christmas on Holly Lane and Christmas Pen Pals.
Literally shooting my fifth Christmas movie right now.
Yes.
This year.
That's
here,
awesome.
I'm going to turn it into a drinking game where every time I miss some Christmas thing on TV, they shot.
Oh, man, we got to have you back for our Christmas episode. If is it close to being released around the, I imagine, around the holidays, yes?
Yeah, well, they're going to be, I mean, because a bunch of them are Hallmark, and they're amazing, but they're doing like a month and a half of Christmas, I think, or maybe 2 months. So I have movies spread out probably from the beginning of November all the way through December. There'll be Christmas movies playing.
Nice.
Very cool.
Who doesn't love the holidays, man?
Man.
Unless you come from a broken home, but, you know, for the most part, Christmas movies are so feel-good, man. They give you all the feels.
Yep.
Well, I literally, every time I'm on set, if there's a Santa there, I'm trying to get a picture. So there's only been one Santa so far, but on the set I'm on right now, there should be another one. So
that's got to be a lot of Santas, because it looks like you got a lot of Christmas stuff under your belt.
And then I also have a guest star on Travelers coming out, too.
Nice.
Yeah, that's a big Netflix show.
Ah, okay, nice. Okay, right on, okay. Wow, tell us a little bit about your role as Dan Gillen.
Oh, yeah, I can't give anything away. Like, I can't even begin to... I would say he's a father.
He's a father,
and there's a lot going on, and I can't...
Yeah. It's got Eric McCormick in it. That's cool.
Yeah. Nice. Wow, this is awesome. So, Josh, looks like you have some amazing stuff going on. So are there any other dream roles or projects that you would love to do?
Yeah. I don't know if they'll do it, because I love Stephen King. That guy just blows my mind when it comes
to
like Castle Rock. I don't know if you've seen that. It's phenomenal. J.J. Abrams, Stephen King, basically my two ideal worlds put together. But they made the movie The Dark Tower. That didn't work out too well. But there's a character from the books that I would love to play. His name's Eddie Dean. And if they ever made it a long-running series, that'd be my dream role. There's something about the guy. For those who haven't read the books, he's basically like a really low-level kind of criminal drug dealer guy, and he's about to get arrested on a plane, and then all of a sudden he gets propelled into this other world. And
that's
cool. Unwilling hero. It's just a really interesting character.
Oh, that'd be kind of a cool switch.
Yeah. Well, of course, Stephen King has that big It sequel coming up in production. Yeah. So that looks pretty awesome, considering how great the first one was.
Yeah.
They did
a good job of capturing the feel of that book and putting it into a movie. It's
tough
to do with a page book, but they pulled it off.
Yeah, they certainly did.
They did, yeah.
They definitely did. Giles, man, wow, we can't wait to start binging on Man in the High Castle on Amazon Prime, man. Really looking forward to it. Again, it's a stellar show. Big Nick over here has already finished the first season. I've watched the first few episodes and was blown away by, again, the story, the production value, and
looking forward to Friday.
Some good stuff. So, Giles, thanks for talking to us here on Below the Belt Show. And before we let you go, if you could let us know who you are and do a little plug for Castle, and then let us know you're on Below the Belt Show.
Okay. Hey, my name's Giles Panton. I play the role of Billy Turner on Man in the High Castle. You got to watch it. It's one of those amazing shows that if you don't watch it, you're going to regret it much later on. And I'm on the Below the Belt Show.
Nice.
Nice.
I love it. Giles, man, have a good night, man. Thanks for calling in.
Yeah, thanks for bringing me on, everybody.
All right.
Take care.
You.
Bye-bye. Seems like a really nice guy, man.
Yeah, totally cool guy.
And look forward to seeing his character on season
three,
you know?
Yeah, crazy.
Yeah, see.
I'm still blown. I mean, like, I already brought it up, but I'm still blown away by the Far Cry 5 thing, dude.
You said you bumped into him. He's like, really?
Really? Technically.